We are in the middle of a series, kind of have been for the last 3 or 4 weeks, that we are calling Don't Skip the Big Rocks. And here is the picture that we've been talking through over the last few weeks. If you were here last week in this service, you will know that this jar of rocks fell off the table and exploded, and rocks went everywhere towards our friends over here. So if you saw that and thought, well, I guess the series is over, you'd be wrong. We got another jar. The rocks are back. We're still in it. We're doing it. And if you've missed the last few weeks, you might have absolutely no clue what I'm talking about or what this jar of rocks is. I'd actually encourage you, if you have a chance, to go back on our YouTube channel and watch a couple of those messages. This is one of those series of conversations that kind of builds on each other. It's helpful to have the context of what the last few weeks have been. But if you have no idea what this picture is, let me break it down for you just a little bit. We've been working on building a picture of what life looks like if we're living in the kingdom and fixing our eyes on Jesus. Right? We've said, this jar is our life, and all these rocks inside of it are the things that we do, the ways that we spend our time. And our lives are busy and full. And if we're not intentional, sometimes the important things, the things that we've been calling big rocks, have a tendency to get pushed out of our life, not given the priority that we want them to have. We've said that we don't want that. We believe that Jesus wants us to build our lives in a different way, that the big rocks should go into our lives first. We don't want to skip them. We want them to have priority and intentionality. In fact, we've said prioritizing our lives around the big rocks is a version of what the Bible calls worship. It's something that we get to do, not something that we have to do. And like we talked about last week, there's a couple other layers in here, kind of medium rocks, small rocks, stuff in our lives that can seem just ordinary or unspiritual, stuff we have to do, but it can become a very spiritual thing when we do it for Jesus and his glory. And so this has been a snapshot for us over the last few weeks of the life we're shooting for and what life can look like if we kind of go our own way, and it gets filled up in a different way than what God's calling us to. And I came across this story recently that I think helps show the danger of what we've been talking about with this picture. There's a guy named Matt Emmons. If you're a fan of the Olympics, that name might ring a bell. Matt Emmons is an Olympian. He competes in the 50-meter rifle competition, so a target shooting competition. And a few Olympics ago, in this particular event, at this particular Olympics, Matt was kind of running away with this competition. It's a 10-round event, and after 9 rounds, he was so far in the lead that his coach told him, man, all you have to do to win a gold medal in the 10th round is just hit the target like anywhere. You don't have to get a bullseye. It doesn't have to be a great shot. If you just hit the target at all, you're going to win a gold medal. And when the 10th round was done, Matt Emmons did not win a gold medal. He did not win a silver medal or a bronze medal. With kind of the weight of leading the competition on his shoulders, he sighted down the scope of his rifle. He aimed at the bullseye. He let his shot go. It's actually a pretty good shot. He just missed the bullseye by a little bit. But in all of the chaos internally of trying to figure out what he was doing, he forgot to check which target he was aiming at. He hit a bullseye just at the wrong target. And I think it's possible for you and I to do the same things in our lives. Not be in the Olympics. I don't know that any of us are going to the Olympics. But to live our lives in a certain way, intentionally or unintentionally, that causes us to skip the big rocks, to be aiming our life somewhere only to find out that we're shooting bullseyes just at the wrong target. I think it's really easy for us to do. So we've been saying through this series that if we don't know what God wants our life to look like, or we're not intentional with our days, it's very easy to drift off target. I've definitely experienced this in my own life. If we don't know each other at all, let me tell you a little bit of my story. I grew up knowing Jesus, decided to follow him when I was young, 4 years old, and grew up with parents and grandparents who loved Jesus and followed him. And as I grew up, I started serving and leading and doing all the church things. Right? I was here on Wednesday night at youth group and going on mission trips and serving on Sunday mornings. Somewhere along the way, I lost track of what Jesus wanted from me, what he was calling me to. My priorities got all out of whack. My life wasn't producing the kind of peace and joy and impact for the kingdom that the Bible talks about. I'd begun to believe that the things I did for Jesus were way more important than the relationship that I had with him. I loved Jesus. I believed in him, but I wasn't living my life with him daily. And because of that, I wasn't becoming more like him. My life, just subtly, had shifted off target, right? I'd skipped some of the big rocks that he calls us to put into place. Maybe you've experienced a version of this in your own life. Whether you follow Jesus or not, I think getting off target is a very easy thing to do. It can happen overnight. Sometimes it's subtle, though. It happens over days and weeks and months and years. And I think the thing we're going to talk about today is a big piece of why. We've been looking at this jar and saying, this is our life. This is all the stuff that's in our life. One of the reasons we drift off target is because each morning when we wake up, we start the day with an empty jar. We still have all the same rocks, right? We still have a family and our jobs and our responsibilities and worries. We're in the same spot in our Netflix show, right? Like all of the stuff is still happening in our lives. But when your head hits the pillow and you close your eyes at the end of the day, you are resetting all of the decisions you made yesterday, all the priorities you put in place, all the things you said were important. So we have a unique opportunity each morning to reorder and realign the rocks in our lives and into a new configuration, a new level of priority. Sometimes that's a really good thing, but most of the time it's an opportunity for us to drift. Just because I had my rocks in a certain configuration yesterday doesn't mean that I won't take my life today and fill it with something that is inconsequential, something that isn't the way God calls me to live. Just because I started out knowing what the right priorities are, the big rocks, doesn't mean that I won't drift away from those over the course of a week or a year or a month. Before we know it, our jar can look radically different from the picture that God calls us to. So the question becomes, each morning, when I start my day with an empty jar, how do I stay on target? How do I not skip the big rocks? How do I build my life in such a way that I'm living the way Jesus calls me to live, experiencing the life he promised that I would experience? How does my life have the impact that he created me to have? Not just once or once in a while, but more and more and more each day. That's what we're going to spend some time talking about today. So I'd love to invite you to grab a Bible and flip it open to the book of John, John chapter 15. If you don't have a Bible of your own, you can grab one actually from the chair under, kind of in front of you. There's little baskets. You can grab a Bible from under there. If you are new to following Jesus, if you don't own a Bible, we would love for that to be our gift for you. Write your name in the front of it. Take it with you. That's yours. We're super, super glad to do that. If you don't have the Bible on your phone, you can go to the App Store. You have my permission. Pull out your phone, go to the App Store, download that. I'd love for you to join me in John chapter 15. This is an incredibly important couple of verses of scripture, right? In a lot of ways, this is the heart or the bullseye of the target of what God wants to teach us about himself, about our lives, how he calls us to live for his glory. And as we read this, we're dropping into a conversation that Jesus is having with some of his closest followers on the last night of his life, right before he would go to the cross and die. And so join me, John chapter 15, verse 4 says this, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches, and if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." There's a lot going on here, right? Jesus, on the last night of his life, is walking with his friends, his closest followers, coming from a meal that we sometimes call the Last Supper. And they're hanging out and he gives them this simple picture of the kingdom. He says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. Anybody that follows after me is like a branch. And the whole point of this operation is that through remaining in a healthy, connected relationship to the vine, a branch might grow fruit. That's the picture. It's simple, but it's helpful. And I think it's going to show us three things today that we want to spend some time looking at. Here they are. The three things we want to look at today is God's goal for our lives. This passage is going to show us God's goal, the truth that should define our lives or the target that we want to be aiming at day in and day out. Second, it's going to show us our role in the process, right? It's going to tell us how to hit that target, to not drift away from it, how we to participate with God in this goal for our lives. And finally, this passage shows us his promise to those who follow after him. His promise to anyone who chooses to follow Jesus with their life, what they can expect and bank on because they're connected to him. God's goal, our role, and his promise. That's what we're going to look at with the rest of our time together. So first, what does John 15 tell us about God's goal for our lives? If there's a target that this passage is painting for us, what is it? I think it's this. It's that God's goal is to be in a deep, connected relationship with us. Verse 4 says, "Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Jesus says, "I'm the vine, you are the branches, and what I want more than anything else is for us to be deeply connected. I want to be connected to you. I want you to be connected to me. That's my goal. I want to be the source of life that you're connected to, the person that you're modeling your life after, the power source that enables you to live your life in the way that I'm calling you to live it. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to live life with you every single day. My goal is to be deeply connected to you." And I want to be clear. We've mentioned this over the course of the series, but it's important to repeat it. Jesus is not one of these rocks. He's not something we put into our lives, something we decide, I think Jesus is going to be a small rock in my life today. Or maybe he gets to play a little bit of a bigger role this morning. He's not just a piece of our lives. If we're approaching life the way Jesus calls us to, then Jesus is more than just a part of our lives. He's the one that defines it. In different places in the Bible, he calls himself the light that pushes back the darkness. He calls himself the one who came to seek and save us because we were lost. He calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. He says, "I am the only path to eternal life," right? And so this is the incredible news of the gospel. It's that over and over again, this picture is played out in our lives. We have aimed our lives at things that are not God. We have willfully chosen to pursue things that he says are wrong, things that the Bible calls sin, things that separate us from him and grieve his heart. We chose to fill our lives with things that don't matter, things that push God to the periphery of kind of the edges of our life. Maybe we push God completely out of our lives. We've chosen busyness or spiritual activity instead of direct relationship with him. And despite all of that, when we didn't earn it and couldn't ever hope to deserve it, God saw us in the middle of our mess and chose to continue to love us anyway. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While our lives didn't look the way that God calls them to look, when we had created separation between us and God through our rebellion and sin, his gift to us is that he gives us grace. He chooses to forgive. He doesn't lock us into our past choices and say, "Sorry, man, that's the life you made." The good news of the gospel is that Jesus loved us so much that he made a way for us to be deeply connected to him. He wants relationship with us. And he wants that relationship to be deep and meaningful and growing more connected day by day. And so tomorrow, when you and I wake up with an empty jar that's ready to be filled with something, we should know that God is seeking a relationship with us. That's true of all of us, whether we've chosen to follow Jesus with our lives or not, whether you're here today just exploring the person of Jesus or you've been following him for decades. God wants to connect with you. He loves you. He wants to be with you in whatever your life holds each day. And that might be a radical new thought for you. I think a lot of us sometimes think that God's goal is just to tell us what we're doing wrong, or maybe to tell us to make sure to have no fun at all times, right? Just like a big cosmic killjoy, like, don't do that, right? That's his goal for our life. Sometimes I think we think that way. Nothing could be further from the truth. God tells us that he loves us, that he sees us, he wants us. And he wants to be deeply, deeply connected to us. So how do we do this, right? What's our role in a relationship with the God of the universe? What do we do each morning with an empty jar? Well, our passage tells us, this John 15 tells us, that our role is the same as a branch trying to stay connected to its vine so that it can bear fruit. Our role is to remain. Look back at me at verses 4 and 5. John 15 says, "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Depending on the translation of the Bible that you've got open in front of you, your Bible might use the word remain or abide. You've heard those words before. Same thing. In this set of verses, we see this idea repeated over and over and over again. It means to stay or to persist, to hang out, to walk alongside someone and learn from them as you go. And we've said this a few weeks ago, but one of the big rocks that we don't want to skip, maybe the biggest rock that we don't want to skip, that has to go into our lives each morning, is what we call the daily pursuit of Jesus. We have work to do and families to take care of and all the rest of the things in our life, but the first thing, the rock that we want the rest of our lives to be built on is a pursuit of Jesus each and every day. That's what Jesus is saying here to his followers. He says, I want to be in relationship with you. Each day I'm offering myself to you, and your role is to abide. I have a couple friends that are just graduated from the police academy, and talking to them reminded me of this story that I heard. There's a man named Jamie Winship, who's a former Washington, D.C. police officer. He went on to do some incredible things. He follows Jesus. He's worked all over the world for the kingdom. But he tells this story often about the process he went through to become a member of the police department. This was in the early 80s, and on the first night of his training, he was assigned an FTO, or what's known as a field training officer, that would train him every shift he was on for the next 12 months. And there were a couple of FTOs that everybody wanted to work with, but there was one FTO in particular that nobody wanted, and all of the rookies called that man the troll. He was rough, he was mean, he had a reputation for kind of making training a nightmare, right? And of course, as the assignments are getting handed out, the names start to dwindle down. Jamie realizes that he's going to be the unlucky person this round that's assigned to the troll. And he's standing there in front of his new FTO, and this is what the troll says to him. He says, "I've got one simple rule for you. For the time you and I will be training together, you are not allowed to talk at all unless I give you permission, and that will be seldom. Do you understand?" And then the troll said, "The reason you will not be talking is because when you're talking, I'm not talking. And when I'm not talking, you're not listening. And if you're not listening, then you're not learning. So your goal for the next year, if you remain with me that long, is to stay silent, to listen, to learn. And if you can do that, you might live through this." It's awesome. So for the next year, Jamie spent every shift with the troll, right? At the start of every shift, the troll would ask him, "Are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to stay with me?" Jamie would nod and sit down in the car, and they'd spend a shift with the troll demonstrating and talking about what it meant to be a police officer. He'd ask questions, challenge assumptions, point out mistakes, recommend a different course of action, give lots of criticism and feedback. I don't think he did that very kindly, but that's the process they went through, right? At the end of every shift, I love this. At the end of every shift, the troll would hit Jamie with, "Since I don't think you're going to make it through this whole year, do you just want to do us both the favor today of quitting and going home?" So every night, Jamie would go home and talk to his wife or lay awake in bed and think about, man, do I want to go back? Do I want to quit? Here's the thing, right? Jamie wanted to become a police officer. In fact, he believed deeply that God had called him to be a peacemaker in the world, and he was convinced that this purposeful work, this vocation, was something that God had called him to do. And what was the only way that was going to become a reality in his life? How was he going to accomplish that goal? The only way he was going to learn how to become a police officer was by staying with the troll. And so every day, even though it was difficult, Jamie showed up to walk alongside his FTO. He learned on the job. He spent time being trained in the art of being a police officer so that he could impact lives the way Jesus was calling him to. And eventually, Jamie graduated and several years later was named Police Officer of the Year. He says this. He says, "I owed my success to four persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the master police officer known as the troll, all of whom I love from the deepest part of my heart to this day, and all of whom have taught me how to abide." That's the idea. Can you see how on a much more redemptive and encouraging level, Jesus is calling us to the exact same thing? He's saying, "I want to be in relationship with you. I'll be your FTO, your field training officer on my way of life. My goal is to be deeply connected to you. Your role is to stay in lockstep with me day by day by day." It's to remain. In fact, Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 11. Listen to this. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." This is what it means to abide, to remain. Jesus says, "Keep company with me, walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn my unforced rhythms of grace, and you'll learn how to live." God's goal is to be deeply connected to us. Our role is to abide with him, to think about what he thinks about, to have our hearts and minds transformed as he asks us questions and pokes at our assumptions about the world, to be open before him, sometimes silent, listening and learning as he gently and kindly, in a still small voice, teaches us about his heart, where the life we're looking for is found. When I wake up in the morning, I'm faced with the gift or the challenge of an empty jar, and I have the opportunity to abide. And it's important to remember that abiding doesn't just mean doing nothing. Sometimes we read the word remain and we're like, "All right, I'll just stay right here. I don't have to do anything. But for Jamie, abiding looks like showing up and listening and learning day after day after day, right? Our relationship with Jesus works the exact same way. Verse 7, Jesus says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Jesus tells his disciples that to remain connected, they're going to need to engage with the relationship that he is offering. To show ourselves to be his disciples, we're going to need his word, the Bible, to be familiar to us and to remain in us. We're going to need an ongoing conversation, what we often call prayer, to hear his voice and to put it in practice. We're going to need to take some time and spend it with Jesus in the relationship that he is seeking with us. I said it this way in your notes. Our access to God is only limited by our willingness to come to him. It's not limited by our past mistakes or our failures. He's given us no hurdles to jump over, no hoops to jump through before we can know him. But we can limit our relationship with God by doing nothing. We have to come to him and engage him to enjoy a relationship that's deeply connected. And I think this works just like any other relationship that we have, especially if it's a healthy, loving one, right? The fact that I'm in a relationship should change what I do, what my priorities are, how I live my days. Relationships are a two-way street. Someone can offer friendship or relationship to me, but until I engage them in what they're offering, it's not a real relationship. If I told you that I was married, right, if I was in a marriage relationship, but as you got to know me, you realized that you had never met my wife, I never spoke to her or talked about her, I never spent any time with her, we didn't live in the same place, it didn't really seem like my life was affected at all by the fact that she existed. If we were friends, you would say, hey man, I don't know that everything's okay there. It seems like something's off about that relationship. It's not real. My wife's here at the first service. We're good. But for example, right? Our relationship with Jesus works the same way. To remain in a deeply connected relationship with him, we have to spend time with him. We have to talk to him and sit silently, waiting on him to talk to us, listening for what he has to say, allowing him to speak to our hearts. Most of the time, it's going to involve some version of getting into our Bibles and initiating conversations with God through prayer, allowing the relationship that he's offering to deeply affect our lives and change how we approach our days. This is what we mean when we say that the first big rock that needs to go into our life each morning is a pursuit of Jesus. We don't do these things to earn a relationship with God. We do them to engage with the relationship that he's freely offering to us. Just like Jamie with his FTO, each morning, Jesus, with love in his eyes, looks at us and asks, hey, are you gonna stay? Are you gonna remain, abide, continue with me? Instead of aiming your life at something that's not centered on me, instead of skipping over the big rock that I've told you leads to the life you want, will you be faithful in small, simple ways? Will you walk with me and learn from me and model your life after mine? Jesus says, man, do you want the good life? Do you want a life that has impact on the world? Because I know exactly what that is. I created it. You live life with me today and let me show it to you. Will you walk with me and remain with me and allow my heart into every other part of your life? So we know God's goal for us, the target that we're shooting for, and we know the role he's given us in the process to remain in him. And the third thing we see Jesus tell his disciples is this. His promise is that we will be transformed. Jesus promises us that because he is loving and good, if we remain connected to him over time, our lives will be transformed. Verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches, and if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Throughout this whole conversation, Jesus has been telling his disciples how to make an impact in the world. He tells us that if we're connected to God in a daily, abiding, deep relationship, we will be transformed. It says that we will bear fruit. I think we have to stop and let that sink in for a minute. For all of us, I think there's something about our lives that if we had the opportunity, we would change. Maybe it's our character, our decision-making. Maybe it's something about our mental health or a relationship tendency that we have, a habit or a hang-up that we keep drifting back to over and over and over again. There's something about this thing in here that we would love to change. We don't really know if change is actually possible, and even if we believe that change is possible, I don't know that we're really sure how to go about it, right? And what Jesus is saying to his closest followers is, for those who abide, transformation is not just possible, it's promised. His promise is that we will be transformed. If you want your life to have impact, if you want to be transformed, Jesus is promising you that it'll happen. Maybe you've been begging God to help you with your anxiety or your anger or your worry, or your fear. The worry you feel and the lack of peace that frustrates you and drags you down each day. The rage that's inside you, the ways that it bursts out of you, embarrassing you and hurting the people around you. The things you're afraid of, you can't get out of your mind. Just keep circling back to and back to and back to. If you remain and walk with him daily, learning to trust him more and more and more, God is promising you that you will become a person of peace. If you abide and see his heart on display for you and for other people each day, God is promising you that you'll become a person of love, patience, and joy. Maybe there's a part of your life that seems like it's never going to be any different. Even after years of following Jesus, trying to work on this area of your life. If you live life with Jesus daily, God is promising that you will be set free. That those things will not have the final say over who you become. That his fruit of the Spirit will start to grow in your life. That all sounds amazing, and I think it sounds a little too good to be true. Right? I think the challenge, at least I feel with this, maybe you do too, about God's promise is that his promise doesn't come with a timeline. Jesus promises that if we remain in him, we will bear fruit. He doesn't say how much. He doesn't say when. And I think this kind of flies in the face of our North American instant gratification culture, right? If we were having this conversation with another human and they said some of those things to us, that might even feel a little dishonest. Is God procrastinating? Is he delaying some sort of good gift, holding it over us? Is he not telling us the truth and just like stalling for time, hoping we don't figure it out? I don't think any of those are the answer. Think back to Jesus' picture to his disciples. He says that a vine connected to a branch bears fruit. You can stare at a branch that's deeply connected to a vine all day long, and fruit's not just going to magically pop out of the end of that thing. In fact, if you watched a branch for a long time, days and days and days and days, mostly it would look like nothing is happening, right? But internally, beneath the surface, life is flowing from the vine into the branch, and eventually, if that branch stays connected, fruit appears. So I think what we have to remember is this. Jesus promises that we'll be transformed, but great relationships take time to build, and good fruit takes time to grow. This doesn't happen overnight. Great relationships, the ones that are deep and meaningful, those take time to build. For Jamie Winship, he had to train with the troll every shift for a whole year, right? Just to become a police officer. Those lessons were slow. The transformation that he went through, learning to do his job, took time. It's the same for us in our walk with Jesus. If we want a deep, connected relationship, that doesn't happen in a day. It's going to take time, days and weeks, months and years. And good fruit, the kind of transformation that isn't just short-term, but actually lasts, that fruit takes time to grow. If we stare at our lives, most of the time, it's going to look like absolutely nothing is different today than it was yesterday. But slowly, internally, God is transforming our hearts and our desires and our motives until eventually we start to see the fruit of his Spirit show up. His promise to us, if we follow him and abide with him, is that we will bear fruit for his kingdom. His promise is that we'll be transformed. And so tomorrow morning, this is what we get. Another day, another empty jar, another opportunity to decide what kind of life we're going to build. And Jesus' invitation to us is simple. says, will you abide with me today? I'd love to be connected to you. Will you walk with me? Will you listen to me? Will you learn from me? Will you let me into all the rest of this, your work, your family, your relationships, your decisions, all of it? Because God's goal is deep connection with us, and our role is to remain. And his promise is that as we do, one little act of faithfulness at a time, he will transform us into the people that he created us to be. So as we finish our time up today, I just want to ask you a couple questions. Just to help us process this conversation, think about what God might be telling us through this picture. First is this. Are you aiming your life at the things God says are the most important? Have you drifted off target? Are you skipping the big rocks? It's the question of this series, and it's one we all have to answer if we want our lives to have impact for the kingdom. Am I aiming my life at the things God says are the most important? Second, we have to ask, do you know that God wants to be in relationship with you? Maybe you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus this morning. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that no matter what you have done, no matter where you have been, Jesus loves you. He created you. He sees you. He wants you. He's offering deep, life-giving relationship to you. And all you have to do is say yes. You can accept his offer, acknowledge that you need him, that you can't do this life on your own. You can say, Jesus, I need you to be my savior, to take away the death that I had deserved and to give me your life instead. He loves you. He wants to be in relationship with you. That's his goal. That's why he created you. And nothing you can do will ever change that. Do you know that today? Third, we have to ask, do you see each day as an opportunity to live life with Jesus? When you wake up each day to an empty jar, what do you see? Do you see each moment as an opportunity to remain and to abide, to walk with him and learn from him and see his heart and mind on display? Are you spending time with him? Is there an area of your life that you've been trying to keep out of the spotlight, hoping he doesn't notice? Are there some small rocks that have started to multiply and push your daily pursuit of Jesus out of the way of, or out of your life completely? Are you allowing him to train you and mold you and teach you as only the one who created life in the first place can? Do you see each day as an opportunity to live life with Jesus? And finally, do you believe God's promise for you? Do you trust that if you remain with him, he will transform you? That he promises to make you into a person whose life makes an impact in the world and in the kingdom of God? Even if it seems like, man, this is taking a long time. Even if there's a part of your life that you've been asking him over and over and over and over again to help you change, and it doesn't seem like there's any fruit yet. Do you believe his promise to you if you abide? I'm going to pray for us, and the band's going to come up and give us some space to sit with these questions. Man, we don't want to skip the big rocks. We want our lives to make an impact for the kingdom, and Jesus says that abiding in him is the path to the life we want. So will you let him speak to you this morning, show you his goal, our role, and his promise today? Will you pray with me? Lord, would you help us to abide? Would you show us your heart? Would you show us the ways that we have drifted off target, allowing other things to become where our eyes are fixed? Lord, would you help us to remember that you love us? There's nothing we can do that will make you love us more. There's nothing that we can do that will make you love us less. Help us to recognize that you see us like a father sees his children, with love and compassion and grace and forgiveness and a desire for a relationship. Lord, will you help us to live our lives with you? Say, I want to know you more. I want to become more like you. I want your heart to be my heart. I want to meet you in the relationship that you're offering. And Lord, would you change us? Would you transform our lives? Bear fruit for your kingdom in us. Not because we're awesome and we did a great job, but because we followed after you. And you make us into new people that you created us to be. Lord, we need you. Help us to believe you, to put our faith in you. Help us to follow you. In your name we pray.